mental wellness in the workplace. How can you be a leader in helping your employees thrive mentally? We have a very special episode ahead, one that will affect almost everyone listening on, as we all have worked throughout the pandemic and were adversely affected from it. This week, we have the number one international best-selling author and award-winning speaker, leadership keynote speaker, Nick Johnson, tuning in from abroad. I'm excited to have another international episode launch. But for today, everyone, we're going to touch on some areas that include executive loneliness, how to avoid workplace isolation, perspective of regional mental health situation in the corporate world via his work in the mental health support groups for executives, which is a tremendous service, I have to say. How has the region's corporate leaders and executives fared mentally in the last 18 months due to the enforced work from home and escalated anxiety? This and so much more. But before we dive in today, Nick, what does mental health mean to you?
Well, to me, Vincent, mental health means something that I have to work on every day. It means that I have to wake up and I have to put myself in the right mindset to treat myself with respect and to treat other people with respect. Because perhaps my autopilot mode when I wake up each morning is not where it should be. So I need to really program myself and remind myself to be in the right space. So that is mental health to me, something that I need to remind myself about every day.
I really love how you put it there. It's a constant work in progress. Just because we take care of our mental health for one day does not mean it will last a lifetime. Even now, as we record, sitting outside for me, getting the fresh air after a long day. Again, a rare evening recording, but we always make time. With that, I want to thank you, Nick, for sharing. And to everyone listening on, let's dive into another mental health conversation. I am your host, Vincent A. Lancey, and this is a mental health break. I am the author of two books for mental health, Mental Health Week, and Mr. Lancey Talks Mental Health, with our third on the way for the Mommy and Me and Newborn Age Group. You can check out my website to learn more at vincentalancey.com. Each week, I sit down with mental health advocates and professionals from all areas of life and from all around the world to help you on your journey. We are all in this together, and you never know which story will resonate with you most. I would love to share that this episode is brought to you by Tampa Counseling and Wellness. They are dedicated to helping individuals looking to positively transform their lives through compassionate counseling and wellness coaching. If you struggle with depression, anxiety, or other mental health issues, give them a call today for a free consultation. It is therapy that inspires change, and you can scroll down in the episode description to find their website, phone number, as they offer virtual and in-house visits. I'm looking forward to today's episode because I've had the privilege to interview him on my writing show, Writing with Authors, over on YouTube. I have slowly been growing the YouTube channel, and it is really coming together quite nicely due to great guests like Nick on my series, Writing with Authors. If you're interested in writing or learning how to write, definitely tune in after the show ends. Nick Johnson, thank you for joining me for show number two.
Thank you so much for inviting me, and especially to talk about this important topic, as I label executive loneliness in my world.
Yes, executive loneliness will be a great preview to today's episode. Would you mind giving the audience a preview to who Nick is? And then we'll dive into mental health talk and, of course, his book, Executive Loneliness.
Sure. And I've been an expat working around the world. I was actually born in Sweden, but I lived and worked in Australia, and after that in Southeast Asia, mainly Vietnam, Singapore, Indonesia. And throughout 15 years as a senior executive, I realized that it could be quite lonely at the top. I was isolating myself. I didn't discuss my work-related challenges with anyone. I was scared perhaps to show vulnerability. I was scared to show that I didn't have all the answers. I felt that I was paid to do the job, so I should handle the pressure. And I kept this for a long time until basically it boiled over, and it was when I went through some challenges at home, going through a divorce, and at that stage I lost my fitness and I moved country, resigned from a job, and with that I started to consume too much alcohol. That sent me down in a spiral downwards and it came to a heavy crash mentally, and it took me a few years to get out of this hole, and I'm glad to be alive today. So that's what I'm here to talk to you about.
Well, I appreciate, again, having the courage to come on here and share your story. You are not the only person in the world to have gone through a bad breakup, experienced executive loneliness, all of these things. You're going to help people with your firsthand experience. And we touched on briefly that you had these challenges. Which type of mental health disparities did you experience the most?
I would say that it was anxiety, really, you know, trying to deliver to my own high standards and just trying to keep that facade again, look that everything was successful and to hold it all together. And in the end, also, it's alcohol addiction. It was something that I had to break out. And I'm proud to say that I'm now almost 4 years sober without alcohol. So once I removed that, only then I started to really feel better.
Well, congratulations on 4 years of sobriety. I know that certainly cannot be easy. And again, you are not alone. Everyone listening on, Nick came here. He's on the show. He went through some adversity, but now he's thriving. And as I mentioned, all the way to the point of being a number one international bestseller. Let's talk about executive loneliness a little bit here, Nick, as I know many people listening on may have experienced the same.
Sure. And actually, the topic was surrounding me. I could listen and hear other senior executives also struggling. And eventually, it was only when actually a friend of mine, a colleague of mine, died of suicide in Singapore in 2019 that I decided then to really take a stand here, that I decided to speak up about it, because I then realized that, you know, I was not alone. There's other people suffering. And the only way we can deal with this is actually to be comfortable talking about these difficult topics.
And it's hard at first to share our stories. And once we get out there, Eric, everything else in life, once you do it once, it gets a little easier. For me, in a different situation where I didn't realize my story was bigger than me. I realized I had gone through something and it's terrible. People may feel sympathy for me, but I didn't realize how many people were going through adversity on different levels until I had the opportunity and privilege to speak at my MBA commencement. And after the speech, I just had interactions with people I've never met and how they really felt what I had to say. I said, okay, let's try to do this a little more seriously for a living. And then you get into the world of entrepreneurship like we are both on. We heard now what led him into this mental health world, a firsthand experience with his friend. He's now making a difference to make sure it doesn't happen to anyone else. What are some things that you can also offer our listeners, Nick? Some things that you do to improve your mental health, whether it be short term or long term?
Well, Vincent, that's something that I really dug into, because many people were asking me this. Once I declared my recovery and after my friend's suicide, I decided to shout out the message loud. And the way it happened was I went immediately on radio, actually, because my social media post went viral. So I was asked these questions, and the answers to them is actually what I put together in a book. And in the book, then I actually lay it out in 5 steps. And if I may share just briefly the 5 steps with the listeners. So step one that helped me was to take stock. And what I mean with that was to really take a sober look at myself. Where am I at? And how am I? What am I doing right? What can I improve on? And you can almost consider it as if you run a shop, you will do a stock take once or twice a year where you look at your inventory. So this right. is a personal moral inventory, which I had to do first. And in this case, I was in a mental health recovery. So I had the pleasure of having a sponsor to do this. But if you don't have a sponsor, there's so many coaches out there. There's so many therapists and counselors who also can help you to take this first step, which is just to look at what is it that we should address? What is wrong here?
And like you said, it can relate to everything, even business, where you have to have some self-reflection time or you'll never know how to improve. We cannot possibly be good at everything, and that's okay. But if we take time to analyze and look at what we have going on, we could slowly transition that negative or that weakness into a positive. Thank you for sharing that. Anything else you'd like to share?
Yes. And then once you've done that, the second step I wrote down is to ask for help. Mm-hmm. So once you know what it is, the issues are. So in my case, I had high blood pressure. I was overweight. I had an alcohol problem. I had to address those issues. So I went to a doctor to deal with my blood pressure and I need to lose weight. And I also had to deal with the alcoholism then. So then I went to a support group to deal with that. So right. That second step was just to go and asking people for help. And there's so many people out there, Vincent, who can help you. So once we identified what it is we need help with, indeed, the help is there.
And I'm sure it was not easy at first to ask for help. As humans, we try to do things on our own and may feel maybe not embarrassment, just not feeling where we're supposed to be at. We know our potential. We all have it deep within us. What was something that really helped you make that first reach, ask for help? If you could help everyone listening on who may be stuck and don't know how to ask for help.
Yeah, the way I did it was in a very safe format. So, I mean, if you go and see a doctor, the confidentiality is there. My wife actually joined me to go and see the doctor because I was a bit scared. But once I spoke to the doctor, I realized that I get sympathy and I got support. Mm-hmm. That then gave me the confidence to also go and speak in a confidential support group. So I choose for the first year just a couple of these settings where I really feel safe. And I think just one thing I want to add here, because what have happened with the pandemic, Vincent, is you don't have to go and see a therapist or counselor perhaps at their studio. You can actually do it in an online session on Zoom, over a phone call in a lunch break. Yes. So you can do it a little bit in a more private manner these days.
Yes, and that's the one thing for me where as an entrepreneur, I'm responsible for my own insurance. And I didn't have the best insurance because I am not employed for a company. So as COVID came and became impossible to get appointments, something I did was create this podcast. And that was one of the reasons because at first I was doing multiple a week, you know, really building up inventory, but it was a therapy session each time. I'm having the ability to talk about my mental health, learn about my mental health from someone new. And that's something I don't take for granted because we're 2 years going now, over 2 years of at least weekly episodes. And I have no intention really of stopping because people are now finding courage to reach out to me to join the shows. And it just, the community just keeps growing. Thank you so much for such a great episode so far, Nick. I now want to transition to something more positive for our listeners, something great for our listeners. What are some things you're going to do to raise awareness for the importance of mental health in the future?
Well, for me, Vincent, this is, as I said, mental health is something I have to work on every day. So just like you have your episode you're coming back to, I need to have my routines yes. that I'm coming back to. And what I'm doing myself, Vincent, I'm volunteering for two organizations. One is an anonymous mental health organization here in Singapore, a grassroots organization where I'm volunteering a few mornings every week. And I'm also a volunteer and fundraiser for a suicide agency.
Wow.
There's been a spike of suicide calls during the pandemic with about 20% here in Singapore. And a lot of the work is done by the volunteers on the ground here. So that is my way to keep giving back, but also to keep reminding myself to be grateful that I managed to get out of this. That. Yeah.
I have that in my notes I just typed up for when I thank you in just a few moments, the volunteer work. Everyone out there, if you haven't volunteered, just not only does it do good for others, it will put you in that spirit of finding more ways to give back to people, whether it's feeding the homeless or just opening the door for someone. Give back. You never know how far a smile can take someone else as well. I'm grateful for the very unique perspective you're giving here because of how many people it's going to help. I think it's a great time now to get into the spotlight story. And I hope you are excited for this one because I hope it found some relevancy to everyone listening on. If it's your first time sitting down with us tonight, each episode towards the end, my guest and I go over another mental health journey to let you know that you are not alone. Normally, I go through a celebrity's story to let you really know that it does not matter how much money or how someone looks from the outside, the inside can be opposite. But since we're talking about this executive loneliness today and in the workplace mental health, we're going to look at an article from NeuroSpa Therapy Centers called Corporate Wellness, the Importance of Mental Health at Work. And to be honest, some of the statistics I read in this were staggering, where given that 1 in 5 adults in the U.S. report living with a mental illness, there's no surprise that these adults are tasked with dealing with their mental health in the workplace. Common contributing factors, of course, anxiety, depression, work environments and workloads. So I'm looking forward to hearing your take on that because me personally, when I was in corporate in the rat race, if you will, the workload, the corporate environment, it was very, very intense and it definitely was not good for my mental health, although some do thrive in that environment. I learned in the article that the work environment and job stressors can compound pre-existing anxiety or depression, and also 83% of U.S. workers suffer from work-related stress, making the impacts of stress and anxiety something that just cannot be ignored. Anxiety at work and struggling with other mental health illnesses affect employees on an emotional level and negatively impact many work-related areas. As many of you listening on can relate to, anxiety at work can lead to decreased productivity and performance, decreased engagement with one's work, poorer communication with coworkers, which I think absolutely is true, and decreased physical capability and functioning. I'd like to end this with ways companies are investing in corporate wellness. It may be one of your companies listening on as well. EAPs, employee assistance programs. An EAP is a program that works to assist employees in coping with or resolving personal or mental health challenges they might be facing. Changing company cultures. Someone like me who has had the privilege of being everything from startups to corporate finance to being in the classroom as a teacher, company culture, school culture, it's everything. One way these companies are working to improve this is by understanding and encouraging openness around mental health. This can mean HR programs taking steps to prevent burnout or to build employee resiliency. And the next one, and I want to end off the show with, is mental wellness days. If you've read Mr. Lancey Talks Mental Health, you know one of the areas I talk about is that mental health day. And that came from thinking I had to go 7 days a week, go nonstop, until I realized how much stronger I came back after that off day, how much more rejuvenated I felt. What are some of your takeaways here, Nick, from this article?
Well, it's a lot in the article indeed. Yeah. And I think the anxiety is something we keep hearing. And I think it goes around the whole corporate world, the anxiety, and everyone has it. And I spoke with one of the therapists here in Singapore who's working with senior executives. And she was sure that 100% of business leaders walking around with anxiety. Why? Well, the world is perhaps more uncertain than ever. And the work is more uncertain. There's so much changes the whole time. There's mergers, acquisitions. It's the gig economy. Yeah. Gone are the days when you worked for the same organization for 30, 40 years and you got the golden watch, you know. We don't have that security. So is it strange that we are worried and anxious? Not really. We feel that we have to be on top of everything and elbow our way up to the top and impress everyone around us to get that promotion, to be safe. So I think it links back to, Vincent, the common survival skills in us as human beings. So we're just trying to survive. So I think we have to have a much deeper look at it. And you touched on it also, the company culture. What is it we are creating as leaders, you know? In my company, the way I deal with this, Vincent, and I'm running a company here in Singapore for senior executives where we create confidential peer groups. And with my staff, we have a culture of fail fast. We want people to fail fast. We want them to immediately, when they made a mistake, share it with a team in a meeting. And we learn from that together. So if you turn it around and just focus on that kind of culture instead, that it's okay to fail. It's okay to not always do your best. Then perhaps we can change this and there could be less anxiety and uncertainty, at least in our job culture.
You said it perfectly there. You can't improve if you don't fail. You can't learn if you don't fail, unless, of course, in a classroom, books, of course. But firsthand, don't be scared. The quicker you quote unquote fail or get that lesson learned, the quicker you could fix it and thrive in new ways. Thank you for that. And Nick, thank you so much for your incredible episode. I loved right at the end, no more working for companies. Are we wrong for being anxious? I love the volunteering aspect you showed, the courage to share your story from multiple angles. And of course, congratulations once again on 4 years of sobriety. Everyone listening on, use Nick as an example. If you don't think you can do it, of course you can. Nick, where can everybody find you, find your book, everything, all things Nick?
Yes, thank you so much for inviting me on the episode today. It's been great speaking with you, Vincent. And indeed, you can find me on my website. It's www.nickjohnson.com. And the way I spell that is NickJohnsson. Otherwise, you can look at Amazon. My book, Executive Loneliness, is there. So if you search for Executive Loneliness in Amazon, it's a bestseller in mental health and men's health and a few other categories. So that's where you find me.
Thank you for sharing that. Everyone listening on, be sure to go check out his book. Do you want to have a last word with us, Nick?
No, just my last word is a good reminder. And that's what's perhaps saved my life and others, is if you have something on your mind, whatever it is, think about who can I talk to this person about. Never ever go to bed with something really bothering you. Just think about who can I talk to this, talk to someone about this. And it may be a therapist, it could be a friend, it could be a coach, a colleague, whatever. Just clear it, get it off your chest, because then the problem is half solved. So that's my last words, Vincent. Thank you.
I like that. Everyone listening on, once again, be sure to go say hello and check out his book, especially if you're in that executive corporate lifestyle. It could really help you. Of course, we are at A Mental Health Break on all social media, except Twitter, because of the character limit. We are at Podcast by Lancey. I am at Vincent A. Lancey on all social media, YouTube, and my website is vincentalancey.com. Remember, Mr. Lancey Talks Mental Health and Mental Health Week are live on Amazon, in addition to Executive Loneliness. Those are three great books for your queue. Thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next Tuesday on A Mental Health Break.